that candidate, and we'll go to the next one. And then split after three, we'll do the other three District 2 candidates as well. And it won't be a lot of time to be able to ask a lot of questions, so I hope it's just a springboard for you to see. A group of people I would like to recognize tonight, here as well, is anyone that was elected at their precinct to be a delegate to the county assembly or an alternate. Would you raise your hand or stand up? I love it. This filling my ulterior motive a little bit by me tonight really was the pressure on me. Because I thought oftentimes because the turnout of the precincts was maybe better than it is sometimes during the non-presidential year, but it's still pretty light. So in many cases, there is not a lot of discussion at the precinct caucuses about which or what delegate, who they might support, who they might stand for. So because of that, a lot of times a person comes and say, well, I don't know who to vote delegate before. So I thought tonight might give an opportunity to understand maybe potential delegates that you might want to follow up with tomorrow before they go to the assembly hall. Any questions before we get started? Well, very, very good. So, District 1, candidates, we'll start down the line. You can get here. John, I'm going to start. So,
thank you.
Let me go first. I'm going to hire you with my mom. So, when you're done, you're
done. Yeah, my name is Scott Berger. It's going to be Walter on the ballot. He said Walter Berger. That's my first name. That's my grandfather's mom. I'm from the East Coast. I lived out here in mid-80s. Met my wife 30 years ago. We're still here. We need everybody was fighting, then there was no uprising against how things were being managed. Everybody was just kind of pitted against each other. So that has to change. And we just need to operate with more integrity, more teamwork, be able to work together with some compassion and respect people. I've seen taxpayers come to board meetings and just get disrespected. It was just kind of the atmosphere that existed. But I think, like I said, the changes are in place, they're strong, and we need to keep that going. And it was horrible, you know, what happened at the county. Careers were lost, and lives were shattered, families torn apart. It was a terrible thing, but we need to realize that maybe that's what we took for the change that we needed. So, vote for Burgers. Everybody vote for Burgers. Some of those are really pretty specialized things, like all the things servers eat, do and learn. How do you turn those positions around?
No, my question is just only as the commissioner.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I hope we'll go
with the terms. Yeah, Dan, go see. Question would be for all candidates today, for Q&A for all candidates. Assuming you're a successful electee, what top two things are you going to try to do in the first 3 to 6 months? What are you going to try to do? Because it seems like there's, from what you just said, there seems to be a various levels of dysfunction that has occurred over a number of years, so it's not just a one-time thing. But what would you do specifically? What recommendations would you, with the other commissioners, working with the county manager, try to implement to get us on financial stability?
It is, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it is not individual commissioners. It's the three commissioners. You need a majority of those three to really act on anything. One of the things I'd like to see done right away is a change in the structure of the county. In spite of everything that's happened, I really believe in a strong manager form of government. I still believe in that. I think you need a chief operating officer that runs the county, that has the authority, but is also given the responsibility and is made held accountable for what happens in the department. So I'd like to see a structure change. It's crazy to have 24 people reporting to you and think that you're actually managing anything.
Thank you, Scott, very much. I think we've asked a couple of questions.
Fortunate at lunch meeting today, I came across a concept of time integrity to courage. And that is, we need to be able to question each other in the county. The employees and the elected officials have got to question each other. It takes courage, because it's not easy to say, okay, there's your budget. Did you spend it on that? Can I see the receipts? Did you go? Let me see the meeting minutes. Let me see if you attended that meeting. It takes courage. It's going to offend some people. But here's why it's courageous. And it's integrity. If you have more integrity and courageous, Ms. Irish might not be serving 6 years. She might have lost her job. She might not be happy with you. But it takes courage and integrity to call each other and demand to see your work. And if they're going to question me as commissioner, I've got to show them my work and explain my votes. And we've got to foster that environment where we're constantly questioning each other. It's like Reagan, trust and verify. So that's what I'm going to try to bring as kind of commissioner. And I'll quickly jump into two answers so we can have some more. Yes to term limits, I think two's the right answer, here's why. I think the founding fathers wanted us to have elections and wanted us to serve in a way. They wanted us to desire re-election. Okay, so I think one term is a bit short. I don't think you should come in real rash and just destroy things and tear them apart. I think a lot of questions need to happen. I think your answer is right for a restructuring. But I think the answer is two. Yes, the term limits, two's a good number, not one, if you're thinking one. And the second question was, what am I going to do? Two things. I'm a Scot. My restructuring is in order. Not rash, not right away, but pretty darn quick. I would say within 3 months. Look at it, look at what they can give to the other commissioners. And I'm okay with 2-to-1 votes. I think it's fine to have 2-to-1 votes. I'll be that dissenting vote if that's what it is. But then I'm all for execution. So if I'm that dissenting vote, and I lose, I'm going to try to support what's enacted in the majority. Okay? So we've got to all cooperate. I don't think the obstructionism of government that we observe at the national level is the right way to go. So I say reorganization, one thing. The second thing, I would call for an audit. I would call for an outside auditor right away. And that's going to cost a little money, especially in a big, very tight budget time. But I want to say a third thing, and that is I promised to balance the budget by 2018, and I would have a goal of building our surplus, our reserves, if you will, back above $20 million by 2024. Our budget projections right now, they're working through, actually closing at 15 still, they're working through 16's budget, they're executing and designing 17's budget. It's projected right now that they meet their goals from a worksheet that I saw, a picture of some of them wins. It showed they might have a surplus down from about, it was about $20 million, so it would be down to $9 million of a surplus by the end of 2018, if they meet their goals. So we need to budget that, build it back up, build it to a $1 million, to $2 million, to $3 million annual surplus to get to a working capital reserves of about $20 million. So that'd be my goal. And a real quick side note on that. I heard, there's pros and cons to everything. The bad part of having a big reserves, and it's true, you're less likely to get grants, federal money, if you're sitting on big reserves. And that's true. But here's my thing. You got $20 billion in reserves, you can do your own capital improvements. You don't need as much grants. And if every county in Colorado, all 64 counties, had $20 million in reserves, we wouldn't need state money or federal money. If all the counties in the country managed reserves, we wouldn't have as big a budget right now. And that's what it means to be Republican. Be responsible. So I'm for big surpluses, big reserves. That's what I'll try to build up. So terms, two things.
Another question. We've got a couple minutes. Right here in front.
Throughout the county, they seem to be suffering from a vast lack of employee housing. What do you feel is the commissioner's role in addressing this?
That's another thing I've been talking to a lot of prospective voters about. And I think it's tied to the transportation system. It's going to cost money. I'm going to balance the budget. I want to try to reduce this. I'm going to try to find efficiencies. If we reorganize the structure, there's going to be less positions. I'm going to do that with diligence, not rashly, because I want to treat all our employees fairly. But the jobs aren't entitlements. It's an honor to serve. And the military is there. I went through downsides in the military. And thank you for your service. We determine some decision no longer needed. And I'll work with those people, help them with their resume, very good at resumes, and help them find new jobs. If that's what So I try to save money, execute smarter, and get to public transportation so that we can transport our employees around. I'm also going to watch out, though, because sometimes I want employee housing to be built, but I think Grand Canyon's got the best geography of any resort community. Better than Breck, better than Vail, better than Aspen. Because we've got to pull nearby towns. Now, I'm not for dumping all the employees in certain towns. Okay, we're Grand right now. You've got to be careful. You want the employees to be able to go to Winter Park, Fraser, Tabernacle, Granby, Friendly.
Friendly.
Look at some boys in red light. Well, some other boys, we met around the PI, Marshall. It's a good restaurant now.
Which was the PI?
Some of that's a good question, but I think Fred's going to figure it out. Example of my vision government right there. Thank you.
Short question back here.
In one of our meetings, one of our discussions, we were tossing around this $5 billion that Mr. Berger mentioned that he wants to recover. And I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it came up at that meeting that the county owns 3 ambulances. And the suggestion was made that perhaps we could get along with 2, and that selling an ambulance would take a big chunk out of that $5 million deficit. So would you sell an ambulance?
I'll be back, sir. I'll evaluate it. I'll see how often they're used. Because public safety is extremely important. Government, our government right now in the county, we grew a lot. I don't know why. We grew a lot. I don't know, 2010, 11, 12. We grew a lot. I think we're doing some things that maybe is not the most appropriate for county government to do, but safety, fire, force protection, public military police, we need to do that. So be very careful with that. And use vehicles. We just bought, the Winter Park just bought some buses.
I think I'll jump in here. I think you answered that very well, but at the moment, are you okay with that?
I'm satisfied. I wouldn't sell the ambulance either.
What I believe.
seemed like there was a whole lot of concentration on controlling the process that led to a lot of this stuff.
Well, apparently, I'll interrupt this for a minute. Let's try to answer questions that Jed.
I'm sorry. No, that's fine. Well, you know, apparently, there wasn't these things in place. And I'm sure that.
Well, just the fact that you did your own research and found $1 million, and you're an independent citizen in Tampa, you would think that people in the government, in the county offices, closer to the action, would have had that insight to identify the same issue.
Exactly.
But congratulations on helping the county out.
Thank you.
Are there other solutions to low-cost housing and transportation? Besides the government trying to build bus systems or build low-cost housing projects, which is what has been tried, is there other solutions that are more up-to-date? Can we think of a way to take a look at maybe moving some of the high salaries that we have towards grants that are given to the people that need it to get transportation to go to the grocery store, to get somebody to come in and repair the pipes in their house? Those are the kinds of things that I've heard from people. And I don't see that we have to spend all this money on salaries for our supervisors when we do some more modern thinking about this kind of stuff. Would you be willing to look at that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could always do the bus system the good old-fashioned way like we did in Winter Park, just raise everyone's taxes 2%, which I was against. We definitely need transportation. There's no doubt. How are you going to pay for it? That's a great question. Fantastic question. You have to look at everything. You have to look at every way you go out there to raise money to do that. Yes,
this is my first time, and I don't know, and I'm new to this area. But my question to you and to the others is, what does the commissioner do? What does the county commissioner do? Can you explain that to me? Because before I give you my vote, I need to understand what type of person you are and what your duties are going to be. I know that when I go and I apply for a job, I have to sell myself to that person and let them know exactly who I am and where I am. But I need to know what I'm going to put you in a position of what you do, what is your job if you do in the county. Because I know too, there are some young people that are here that maybe have never attended a meeting like this either. And they need to know what they're voting for, what that job is that you're applying for. Can you explain that?
Well, yes, I mean, that's a pretty involved question. Essentially, the three commissioners are running the county.
Here I am standing before you,
sustain and not fulfill my promise. All I can say is look at my leadership skills and my experience. One of the key attributes of a commissioner is open and honest communication. It is critical that the commissioners have the managerial expertise and the people skills to guide and manage the county while maintaining a positive rapport with the public. Over the past several years, the attitude and the atmosphere at many of the commissioners' meetings has been toxic and confrontational. This only serves to undermine what needs to happen within the county. There have been recently many discussions and statements about cutting positions, furloughs, et cetera, within the county. And while I am willing to make such tough decisions, it should only be done after we have exhausted all of the other ways to be more efficient, such as cross-training, working collaboratively with others, coordinating, sharing resources. Those may be better choices. As commissioner, I intend to seek the solutions from everyone, from the elected officials, appointed department heads, employees, and most importantly, from the public that we serve. Integrity is important for politicians because they're chosen, appointed, or elected to serve society. In order to be able to serve, politicians are given powers in their positions to either make, execute, or control policy. They have the power to influence something or someone. However, there's also a very great risk that this power will not be used by the politicians to serve society, but rather to serve themselves. And Grand County has seen this all too well. We need to regroup as a county and move forward. I am honest, have strong moral principles, and hold myself to the highest ethical standards. I will treat each person with the dignity and respect that they deserve. As an elected official, I come to work every day, 5 days a week. If I need to stay late to ensure that the work gets done, I stay. So I have shown a commitment to my elected position, and as your commissioner, I will continue to show that same dedication and commitment. The county's financial reserves have continued to decrease, and expenditures have risen dramatically. In 2013, the county's ending fund balance, or our reserve balance, if you will, was $24.8 million. By the end of 2015, the ending fund balance had been spent down to $17.9 million. The total budget in 2013 was $32.5 million. And by 2015, it had increased to an astounding $39.2 million. Why have we allowed this deficit spending to occur? We cannot allow this deficit spending to continue. As your commissioner, all expenditures will be evaluated and examined to ensure that they are necessary. And I will work thoroughly in every department, making necessary cuts and changes to bring the county back to a balanced budget, and which would include replenishing our capital reserves. Thank you. As far as term limits, not what I think, but what you, the voting public. You have to go with it when everybody else public decides. I have no problems with a 2-year term, but that's not my call. You vote on
it.
I'm sorry.
You said
2 years. Oh, well, that might work.
I thought you were going to do here.
Let's see, the other question.
What are you going to do?
Okay.
3 months.
Personally, I think that we need to look very seriously at the restructuring of the county. That has to be done. Obviously, the number one thing is get our financial house in order. If we don't have the money, we can't spend it. Well, the commissioners manage the county. That's their job. I think it's a five-day job. I don't think it's a Tuesday afternoon position. What you do is you make sure that you have the right manager, if that's the route that you want to go. We're a county of our size, which we need a county manager. But you have to keep on top of what's happening with the county. And I think that's one of the problems that we've had is that the county leadership has been asleep at the wheel.
Mr. White, an easy question. As the sitting assessor, if you were elected, how would we, what's the procedure for getting a new assessor?
My understanding is that that would be an appointment by the county commission. I would have no say in that.
There would be a vacancy committee by the Republican Party that would appoint someone, maybe?
No.
No.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Who's question?
Casey Carroll. My question is, everybody's talking about restructure. What does that look like? I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff that can't be cut by the feds, by the state. So, Mike, when you talk about restructuring, that's a hell of a good buzzword. But the reality of it is, there's a whole lot of that budget that you guys don't really, I mean, you're going to spend it on whatever you need to spend it on.
So
I guess my restructuring is, are you talking about eliminating the county manager? Are you talking about downsizing departments? Are you talking about...
My answer would be yes to all of the above. And my example, in the assessor's office, I have already downsized by 20% since I've been in office. We have become more efficient by technology. We put everything that is not confidential, we've pushed out onto the internet. It's for you to look at, review, and it's free of charge. We are already cross-trained. Everybody in my office can step in and work for somebody else. I think if we can do it, and in my department, why can't we do it throughout the county?
I like what you said about representing the people in the county. I know that you all have a lot of large budgets and other large water issues and things to address, but you have the individual people in the county to represent and protect. And one of the main things about that is property rights, especially in non-HOA areas. And I wonder how familiar all of you are with the current property rules and regulations and how they are or are not enforced.
Okay, I think we have to be understand two different things. The property rules, like through the assessor's offices, we have no control over. If you're talking zoning rules, that the county does have a say in. I think you might be looking specifically more towards the Three Lakes Design Review area. But yes, there's your property rights are set by statute. Your zoning is controlled through the county through the planning and zoning department. And should we look at it? I think all departments need to be looking.
Thank you all for coming. I'm Eric Linke. I'm the current District 2 Commissioner, and I have been a commissioner now for just a little over 3 years. I was not a politician. I'm a long-time local. My family homesteaded out here south of town about 130 years ago, fourth generation. I got into this business a little over 3 years ago. decided that was something that I could get into rather than doing what we're all really good at sometimes is complaining. And I thought I could get into this business and try to get involved and make a difference. Not like a lot of what is going on today with the coffee folks. Get involved, make a say, ask questions, and that's how citizen involvement gets started. So I appreciate you all for coming. That's really how I got started in this business. And I've heard a lot of good ideas here today. And I'll answer some of those questions as I talk about some of these things that I've done and plan on doing. But I'm going to answer the one question, I think, first about what the commissioner does, because that kind of leads into some of the other things that I want to talk about. The simple way to put it, and this is the way that I explain it to fifth graders, because they come to the county every year to have fifth grader during law day. And the easy explanation for that is the commissioners are like the governor of a county, but except for one, there's three. So that's a simple way to put it. So we commissioners are in charge of land use, policies, procedures, basically running the county through the help of the manager. So that's a simple way to put what the commission does. And there is a lot more, and I think you guys have seen this, but there's a lot more than just a Tuesday meeting, and I'll get into that a little bit too. Why I am asking for your support to continue to support me as your commissioner, because I believe there is a tremendous amount of transition going on in Grand Canyon right now. There's transition in two big ways. In personnel, we hired a new county attorney last summer. We're going to have a new manager coming on. Probably the first part of June. We're collecting applications right now. We have let DOLA, Department of Local Affairs, do some of that vetting and screening process. And that ties into also, I've heard a lot about restructuring and reorganizing the entire organization. We're going to do that with the help of a new manager, because I think it's long overdue. There are departments that are just one person. Maybe that's okay. Maybe that's fine. They weren't really good supervisors. I think Casey mentioned a little bit ago, some of these things are kind of bound statutorily, so they don't necessarily need supervision. So there is some things that we're going to enlist the help of our new manager to look at that restructure and really get that direct line of command down to about 7 maximum people to supervise. And I think that's a fair number of people and departments that a manager can effectively run. And that's part of the entire process that I think needs to take place, is we need to constantly evaluate what's good, what's working, what's not working. You know, like I said, I've been in this business now just a little over 3 years, and there has been a tremendous amount of transition, like I said, in personnel, but also in accounting in general. And I think we all know that some of you that are in the real estate business know this. We don't have this huge influx of second homes that have these high home values that we do before. We're going to have the Henderson Mill that's scaling back, and that's going to be a big change in terms of our resources. There's a lot of other factors that play into what we get to in terms of revenues and where we're at in terms of expenditures that affect that fund balance. It's no difference than your savings. Deficit spending is no different than if you have a big expense coming up that you believe you've got to do, you dip into your savings and you do it. So that does bring that fund balance down a little bit. My goal is to have a balanced budget by 2018. Yes, we could probably do it in 2017, but there would be drastic cuts that I think would be too extreme for people to adjust to in that short term. There's a lot of factors that go into that. There's a lot of evaluation, and there's a lot of hard decisions. We're still closing out the 2015 budget right now, because that some of those bills coming clear into March when the rate gets closed out.
The duck is spoken.
So we are in the process of doing that, and we will continue to. We're looking at department heads and going through and scaling back those things. We have made some of those necessary things. I'm asking for your support to continue that. I think there is a lot of value in the little bit of continuity, especially in time of transition that we are going through. I would like to continue that and ask him for your support at the county center.
Term limit question.
Term limits. And that, great question. About a month ago, I asked the county attorney to draft the language for term limits to go on this year's ballot. Because Mr. Weider said it is a vote of the people. I support it. But I support three terms. And let me tell you why. That's going to be the question on the ballot. Only for commissioners. Only for commissioners. The other elected officials, I think you heard it here, I agree. Those positions are very specialized. Mr. Weider has specialized training that goes along with the assessor business. And those positions, I think there's a really high value for the longevity that people learn to get into those positions to do those jobs effectively. That's a job that's different than a commissioner job. A commissioner is a policy level, it's running the government. Why I support three terms rather than two is because I think when you have that constant transition, you lose that credibility when you do the things beyond Tuesdays that are so important to Grand County. When you advocate for water issues at Club 20 in Grand Junction, when you go to CCI, Colorado counties, and you talk to members of the other 64 counties and you advocate for Grand County issues, you earn some credibility by seeing some longevity rather than constant transition. Because the other guys are sitting there saying, well, Grand County is just going to throw this guy out, so we don't have to worry about that. But when they see that same face, and you learn who the key players are, and you learn who the people are that you need to talk to, then you can start getting things done for Grand County. Make a difference. So three terms. And I can sum up the three terms in one word piece. Term number one is learning. It doesn't matter how much time you spent sitting in that audience, because I did it for an entire year trying to learn the commission business and attended a lot of the meetings that commissioners went to. I did it for an entire year before I got elected. Term one is learning. You are learning how all this stuff works. Not only just the Tuesday stuff and running the county stuff, but all the other meetings that you go to that you're advocating and promoting Grand County to make it better. Term number two is executing and applying what you learned. You're taking all those things that you learned and you're applying them to all these other things that you do, all the other meetings that you go to, all the other legislation that you might enact that gets put forth to the Colorado legislation, or the Club 20 issues, or the Colorado workforce, some of these other things that I set up. Term number three, that's the accomplishment term. That's when you see that some of these things that you have worked on are going to get done. And you can follow through to ensure that they get done. Water is a perfect example. A lot of the water agreements have been signed. The CRCA, the Waka firm, the Winnegat firm. And as a result of that, Grand County needs to follow through with some of the things that we bargained for and we got. And I think that historical knowledge is important to continue to make sure that we get those things that we bargained for, the environmental flows, the projects that Paul Mercier is working on, Krillin. All those things are important in that third term to see that we get them done and that we can make the best Grand County possible. So that's my term limits question. We've already done that process. There's going to be probably coming up within a week or so. We'll approve that language and then go on November's ballot. And you guys will choose whether or not you want to term limits for commissioners three terms on this fall's election. That's my answer there. I have initiated that. I believe three terms is fine. Mr. Ebar.
Is the wording going to be specifically 3 years, or is it going to be a free choice?
It's not going to be 3 years. It's going to be three terms.
Well, I'm sorry. But you've heard other people say two terms are plenty. And I would think that when you're coming forth with a proposition like that, that you should give the people a chance to determine whether or not they want to do a 2 year or a 3 year.
And it's not an either or at this point. I support a 3 years. I look at a lot of the other counties around the state, and it seems like three terms is the most effective use of the resource that you invest in the person as they are sitting in one of these positions. And that's where your citizens get the best bang for your buck. Because really, the first few years, you're paying tuition, really. You put somebody in one of these seats, And they're very, you're not necessarily getting your money's worth, but I think by the time you get into that third term, you do, as a citizen, you get your money's worth out of your person. You may not agree with everything, but at least they know enough to advocate for what the majority of Grand County wants and what is best for Grand County. So three terms, that'll be the question on the ballot. That's what I support. I want to know the
three commissioners have to approve that, right?
That is correct.
The levy rule.
I ask an unpopular question in the room. As one of our three governors over the past 3 years, the Rome has expressed their dissatisfaction in things that happened in the county. So as one of the three governors for the past 3 years, convince us that we should continue with the incumbents.
Good questions. Thank you. And I think that's important to understand how you should. I think it's important to understand, you know, commissioners, they do a lot of talking about how many things they're going to bring forth, but remember, a commissioner is just one vote. It is one vote. And I'm fine with being a dissenting vote on whatever it is that I believe in. And I just think that there is, and I think you heard from some of these guys, there is positive, Mr. Burton, that there is positive changes taking place right now. And I think that I have the willpower and the fortitude to continue to see those positive changes that are going to be better for Grand County. And I think that's why I've asked for the continuation. I think when you constantly throw out the people that are in these seats, that really, if you think about it, that really just empowers the staff because they're the ones with the knowledge. And they don't have to be directly accountable to you where we do, commissioners do. So I think that's important to have that accountability in the position. Good question.
I think there's one more question that really needs to be asked for just Mayor. And if I could ask that question, if you permit it.
Bob, can you hold that? And I'd like to give Chris a chance to speak to us.
Okay.
If everybody's willing, we'll come back to that question.
Okay. It's about the $3 million.
I got it.
Yes.
Say we want more money. We feel that we need to make sure that
special district boards, I've also learned a lot of what you can do. A commissioner is just strictly one person. They have no power by themselves. You have to do it with the three of you. That's the only way you have any power. You are not any power at all as a single individual. You have to bring it back and work with the board. So that's one thing I'd like to try to do. Community service is something I've done all my life. I joined the Maryland Choir in 1971. I've been involved with that since the beginning, since that time. And my parents, actually, my father and mother helped develop the Maryland Choir along with my grandparents. So we've got a lot of time for that. I'm currently assistant chief and secretary of the board right now up there. My two girls, we brought them back here, as I mentioned earlier, so they could graduate from school here. They both graduated from high school here. They went on, pursued their careers. One is a doctor now in Boise, right now. She went to Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx. My daughter, Rebecca, she's actually pursuing her master's degree, finishing that up this year. She's actually working in the school system here, doing her internship for a speech pathology specialist. So she'll be finishing that up this month here in Grand County. Then she goes down and will actually be working at the a hospital in Castle Rock is coming next 3 months. So, I can't give you a big grandiose speech because I'm new to this. I will tell you one thing. I'm a great listener. I'm responsible. I have a big backbone. I'll listen to what you want. You tell me what it is. I carry a notepad with me just so I can take a little notes as necessary. And I have a pad too. I'm not a mom. I have a cell phone too, but I don't have that. But I want to take your input. I hear what you have to say. I want to try to fix it. We need open transparency. We need to fix the budgets. That's the number one goal that we need to do. We've got to make sure we build the reserves up back in the county. I feel like we need to talk to each one of the department heads. Find out what do they do to make it so they can be more efficient. Trying to sit here and say, I don't know what the answers are all the way. No. We can share, check, talk to the people, and let's go back and redo the actual way that it's set up. And with ICS training, that's what we get from wildland training and anything else. It's the command system. They give you training, teach you that you go beyond six people, you're beyond your scope of being able to control what the situation is. So I feel that we need to work together as a board and try to control how many people each person is in charge of. That's the only way you can actually get the job done properly. For our term limits, I agree that that's something that the voters need to go after and say what they want. Whether it's three, four-year terms, that's strictly up to the voters. It's not up to us as the commissioners or anything like that. That needs to go back to you, the voters. Tell us what you really want. And as far as what the first thing we do, first thing we want to have open communication with everybody that's there and try to control the budget, find out where the money's going, where can we close it, get it back under control so we don't have a problem, and bring the trust back into the government, back into the people. Because right now, there are a lot of lost souls and they're confused with what's going on over there. I mean, I've been going to the commissioner meetings just so I can learn. I've got the time now, so that's what I'm here for. So, any other questions I can answer?
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. How's everybody doing on time? You came out tonight. I don't want to keep you too long, but I don't want to chase you off either. What I would propose at this point is, Bob had a question for Mayor. I'm going to propose that we, if we start this, that we give the opportunity for one question per candidate, and we'll start with Mayor tomorrow. But if you that line, that works for everybody. I don't want to go strictly to one candidate and ask one question. So, Mayor, would you mind answering
your question? Yeah, Mayor, I was just wondering, the county's spent $3 million on the Highway Act project. And I was wondering if you would do that again, or if you would, if you could justify it for me.
Okay, thank you. That's a great question. You know, that was certainly a decision that was made not without controversy. What are you doing for me? Why are you all this money that we're making at this point, and why are you spending it that way? And I think we need to get past that. I'll answer your question. But I think we need to get past the what's in it for me stage. What did you do for my county? When did you fix my road? This is all of Green County. Yes, we are diverse. We have six unique and diverse towns. division out of the county. So, in answer to your question, Bob, yes, damn right I would. That, to me, was $3 million on a ramp project that brought a $50 million project to Grant County. And it benefited a lot of the people in the West End directly. And if it benefits one part of the county, it benefits all of the county. I know that's hard to see at times, but it does. We had a binder 3 inches thick of letters of support and pledges from all over the county, not just the West End, all over the county. There was a huge amount of diverse support for that project all over the county. I understand there's some distractors. I got that. But overall, it was the right thing to do at the time, and in my mind, it was the right thing to do still. We can always do the Monday morning quarterback thing and say, he should have thrown that pass, or he should have run the ball. That doesn't work. Number one is, you can't change it. Number two is, it's still the right thing to do. So, that's the answer to your question. Yes.
Thank you.
Can you raise your hand to specify a candidate? And
who is your question? Scott, with the possible restructuring of some of any of the departments, in your assessment as the finance director, are the people in the department that are managing budgets, are they capable of managing those budgets as if it's their own checkbook, and are they willing to make decisions, the tough decisions, on cutbacks or whatever?
Very pleasant. It's a difficult situation that people have been put in for years. The whole time I was there, every department was pitted against each other. Everybody was asking for 100% or 110% of what they thought they needed for their department. And there was never this sense where you could get all the public safety people together, all the health and human services people together, and agree on what those departments should have. So the lack of teamwork, I think, really hurt the departments in that way. I tried to get financial training for non-financial people as a requirement to be a department head, and that got shot down. People have to be able to read a financial statement and have some sense of what that means. I mean, numbers are numbers, but they get complicated when they get that involved in that big account.
Who shot it down?
Well, I was appointed by the Board of County Commissioners to report to the county manager. So that's where most of my recommendation went. A lot of things didn't work well, partially because there was no impetus to change. There was no reason to change anything. We had the same outside auditor for 25 years. That guy wasn't auditing anything. He was on the staff. I mean, he wasn't going to do anything to rock that place. I mean, it was a great client, very low risk. I was stunned at the lack of internal control when I got there. And I wrote an email to the county manager and to the IT director that said, we don't have the systems in place to track any of this stuff. And I got shot down by both of them. Then I took that same information and sent it to our outside auditor. His response was, well, the county commissioners, the county manager, they really know better than you do, Scott. You've only been here 3 months. In 90 days, I could figure out that everything was pretty lax. Nobody was reviewing the expenditures. Nobody looked what was submitted from the departments to see if there was any sort of documentary support for it or propriety. That was all out the window. And there was no system in place to track revenues. And that's how Richard Irish could get away with what she was doing. There was no system in place to balance what should have been collected in that department versus what was deposited with the treasurer. And when all that blew up, fingers got pointed at the treasurer. Well, it's her fault. Well, it wasn't her fault. It was the fact that we didn't have the controls in place to allow for the
unfortunately, with that, the outside auditor can only make those suggestions. They cannot enforce them.
Yeah, but they make the suggestions. I'm saying that from the sounds of it, any normal person who has any idea of controlled business practices, processes, would have identified some risk. And if they didn't bring it up, that's a strike against them.
I think you got it.
I'm sorry.
No, you did good.
That's
awesome. Very good. That's a question for somebody else.
Just kind of a follow-up to that.
Who are you asking?
I'm going to ask this question to Mr. McConnell. Because all of the hours he put in, and the people that he worked with, and we covered a lot of when this comes to life. One of the things a group of people went to the commissioners and came from him was a particular kind of audit to be done, and it was not received well at the county commissioners. I would like to put to you if that audit you talked about before, necessary
to have
that audit
show. I think it is necessary. We were able to show that Lonnie, I think, was the auditor for the next forever, wasn't doing the job. We asked for a forensic audit specializing in fraud. We were talking about that. We had a few bids. One person told us that he could spend about $30,000 or $40,000 to get to a point where people would know pretty quickly, but this is what these guys do for. They know what it did. The commissioners agreed to do it, and one more meeting, a very nice meeting, they decided they worked it. Do I think it's necessary? I do. And now, $30,000 to $40,000 is a lot of money, but typically these guys can go and find way more than that. And there's mouthpieces, and there's theft, and embezzlement. It has to be a problem. And that's the essence of what government is supposed to do for us. We pay the taxes, give us services, and there's money that's being stolen or not used correctly. They make it
immediately. Okay, another question maybe is, this man has a question. Which candidate?
Mayor, I guess.
Mayor, okay. I'd like to give one of the reasons. Does the question work towards anyone else or not?
All the others. Well, I'm just talking about accountability. Talk about the issue we had in public trust. And I see the building department happy. And I don't see any accountability at all in that incident. And that's why I'm directed toward the mayor. Because I can guarantee you, if I was a commissioner, there have been some people gone under that situation.
Accountability is so important. In my office, as the assessor, property values in property taxes are key. Because what the public have decided on is that you voted that I want these particular services. And I'm willing to pay taxes for them. Okay? So for our office, for accountability, we're actually audited 3 times a year by the state. So we have to make sure that what we're doing is correct.
But that's not my question. The question is, when something goes wrong, somebody is accountable for it. And that didn't happen in the building department. I understand what you're saying. Well, I'm saying when something goes, somebody's not doing their job, or something goes wrong, somebody should be held accountable for it. Whether it's fired, charged, or whatever. And I didn't really see that.
I would like to answer that question. That's the only answer that's going to satisfy.
Okay, in my experience as the assessor, the repercussions are, is that working? We're taken before the state. I'm charged, and if we are found to be incorrect, A, I can lose my job. these are going to mandate a reappraisal for whatever reason for the whole county. So I do have accountability, and I know what it's all about.
I'm sure there's varying degrees of accountability, and we got to make the heads roll kind of thing. Okay, when the building department came to light, it was actually during how it really came about. There was a lot of factors that came up. It really came up to light during the budget. The department head of the building department presented his budget, but the expenditures didn't match up to what he had projected. Off by this big number. So that's where we got into the digging into it, and we found that all the other stories that all came about. But that person, once that we discovered that the person that was stealing the money, one person was actually stealing money, and apparently from day one, it was not even here for last week, that person was terminated immediately, as were a family member that was working in the county. The department head was kept on for a good reason. Number one is there was a little bit of latitude that the investigation head, the sheriff's department head, had with that person in terms of questioning as an employee. When we discovered that that department head was completely and totally incompetent, he was fired also. He was terminated also. Now, it's a discussion. We got full severance. I was livid when I heard that. We couldn't do anything about it. It was already in policy. We couldn't change it without getting into a big lawsuit. I hated that fact. We have changed that policy since, that if somebody's convicted of a felony, they don't, we have the right to get a hold severed. But at that time, and that employee signed up with that in place, we couldn't do it. Pull that severance because it was per policy as it was. It was bad. I was livid when I heard that we still had to give that guy severance, even though we knew that it was a complicated
thing. But you're telling me nobody between the department head and you, the commissioner, should have been held accountable.
Everybody was held accountable.
How?
Well, some of them were terminated. I just told you that. And I don't know how
not for the department
head. Was satisfied. I'm not sure that's the answer here. But we did find one person who's going to jail. That person is definitely held accountable by the system. The department head that was supposed to be managing that, we heard here. And some of the things Mr. McConnell brought forth prompted a much tighter sense of controls, where I'm 100% confident that this kind of thing could not happen again in the future. And if it did, by some slim chance, we would catch it very soon. We have instituted very rigid controls.
You haven't answered my question.
Okay, I said I understood the question.
Who's been held accountable between the department head and the county commission?
Who's been held accountable between?
He's asking if the county manager should have been fired.
Exactly.
Okay. That's what he's trying to ask, I think.
Exactly. Or somebody.
Possibly so, in retrospect. Maybe, I don't know. This is one of these shows about the morning quarterback.
No, it isn't.
We did, we did not. Maybe so. Your opinion is we should have fired the manager. My opinion was we didn't.
My opinion is somebody should have been held accountable.
No, I'll just address this to you. I'm going to get to your question. But there is a case that happened this week. You appointed another department manager. Does that department manager have the financial skills to prevent something happening in the road bridge department that happened at the building department? Or is that person not capable of? Did you check that and run that before you appointed this person as the county department head? Because if you don't have county department heads that know of county and know what they're doing, you're going to have the same thing happening over and over again. And I don't think you and the county manager and other previous county commissioners have actually even tried to have a policy where your department heads have to be financially responsible. That wasn't the question I was going to ask, though. The question I'm going to ask is going to be to one of the two remaining.
You don't want me to mention that.
You didn't have to answer it. You already did it.
different things about what the county.
Who are you going to ask?
Commissioner. I'll let them. There's two left. I'll let them choose between themselves. We've heard that the county commissioner, first of all, is a manager. And second of all, I don't think I've heard that the county commissioner set policy and determine the direction of the county government. I haven't seen anything that indicates to me that the county commissioners in the past have really set a direction for this county.
What's that question?
Are they going to appoint a county manager, and if they have the county manager that's already in place that is not ready to fulfill policy decisions that must be made by the commissioners?
Thanks, Eden. I think Ed Boyer's doing a good job. He's trying his best right now. It's an interim, okay? He's the acting county manager. I think he's taking a low-key job, low-key approach right now, what he's doing. I think when I read the paper articles about the county manager, it became clear that the organization of the county was such that no one could be held accountable. That's a policy problem. So I think, unfortunately, Merritt's right. You can't fire the county manager.
Well,
unfortunate situation.
He's right. It's an unfortunate situation. I don't think they could have fired the manager
with the responsibilities as they were dictated. Now, we can hold everybody accountable for why was the policy so bad? Why was nobody on the books, you're responsible for this? And that's what I want to bring. And that's what I think they've tried to do a little bit. We can go further. You are responsible for this. Set clear expectations for your job. And when something goes wrong, I'm not a head to roll kind of guy. That's not good for morale. But when things go wrong, sir, you can fire at some point. But you can also, I got in the military, that was a one mistake Air Force. That's not good. We lost a lot of good officers because sometimes you can make a mistake, it goes in your records, you had a bad performance appraisal that year. If it's not something as bad as $500,000, okay, that's probably bad. But you could do something. I don't want to fire people left and right. I don't want to advocate that. But we can have policy in place that shows what you're accountable for, you're measured by it, and you're held accountable to it each year, and it's clear. And I think most of the time, there'll be bad appraisals for bad behavior, extreme behavior, you're fired, and if there's enough bad little stuff, then you're fired too. But with good feedback, hopefully, what they want to do is grow department heads, grow workers, make them all better. That's what I want for the county. It's not a bunch of attacks. I want to grow everybody. So I hope that answers your question to a degree. She could have been held accountable. But as a bad policy, let's fix the policy and let's hold the county in the future.
And you talk with the county commissioner, you can't lie. My question to the man, Richard Williams, the county commissioner, is he a policy person or is he a managed to the infinite degree, which is what's currently happening right now?
Policy person primarily, sir. That's my opinion.
We need a question for Chris. Set over there quietly.
Nobody's attacked him.
I'd like to know from your experience working with budgets. We've heard from all of you that balancing the budget, getting closer to it is important. In your estimation, your experience, what's a realistic time frame for balancing the county budget?
God, I'd like to say tomorrow. Yeah. But to get into it and find out what's going on, first of all, you need to get into January, probably November is when the election is, so you want to get into it after that. So you're going to have to try to do it in the first 3 months. You have to bring in other people, bring in somebody that's very familiar with. I hope the guy you can find out what's going on in a 3 to 6 month period, find out where we are with the budget, and hopefully within a year, you have it so that you know exactly where those expenditures are. Hold them accountable, meet with your department heads, find out what each one's saying. It takes some time. It's messed up as it is right now. It's going to take 6 months to get everything brought to line. So that's what I would say.
That's
Italian thing, you have a C-I in the name, it's Cimino, but I'll let you know anything, so it's okay. I feel my candidacy for commissioners in jeopardy because of my interest in the county manager job. If I'm the nominee for District 1, and I apply for county manager, by the way, the deadline is March 30th, and I get the job this summer, is the Republican Party left in the lurch? I don't want to leave the Republican Party in the lurch. So I've told some people, and I'll tell you all publicly tonight, that if I'm the only nominee for District 1 out of the assembly on Sunday, I will not apply for manager. But I want to tell a little quick story. I'll try to be quick with it. You can start your joke if you want. I applied for county manager the first round. And I don't blame anybody, but to the letter, I was considered unqualified. I was warned about that from the military. When you retire from the military, when you separate, you give you classes, they tell you you're a military resident. It doesn't translate to civilian land very well. And I guess. I feel like I was extremely qualified, but I didn't even get an interview for the first round. Now, Grand County is one of 64 counties in Colorado. And believe it or not, we have a higher percentage of veterans in Grand County than any other county in Colorado. So, I think it's appropriate that we have military guys with the commissioners. And what I'm not going to give all the jobs to military guys and girls. But what I will do is I'll try to make sure they get a fair shake. And I'll try to, if they're reasonably qualified, I'll try to get them an interview. And I'll try to take care of them. As for myself, I don't think I have much of a chance this time around either. Here's why. DOLA and their advertisements for this current management of the position, they said three times they only want experienced county managers to be considered. I can still apply, and I encourage all of you, if you're qualified, to apply. But that's what they're saying, so I just think, unless you come from some other county, or you've done a county manager in the past, chances are very low. And I'm not arrogant enough to think I have a choice, because I mean, I could either. But if I did have a choice between being a commissioner or a manager, I think I would prefer commissioner. I think it's where my talents are best suited.
I've got a question. Can I ask a question, Christian?
Yeah.
So you said that if you're the only one that comes out of the assembly, then you wouldn't put District 1. So say you and Scott come out, and then Scott, you get the job as county manager, and then we're wrong. You said this is going to happen after the assembly. So I just want to clarify so everybody knows exactly what Richard said he was going to do. And I'm not trying to put him on the spot. Him and I have talked about it. And he said I can only share this with delegates. It's mostly delegates in the room. I just want to be totally upfront with what Richard is going to do.
If I'm the only nominee, I won't
apply.
If there are multiple nominees who go through the primary process tomorrow, I think it's June 28th, it's a primary election.
That's right.
I'm going to talk about it with my family. I'll need to decide if I apply or not. If I do apply, I'll let y'all know. If I get an interview, I hope that will take place around April. If the selection is made by the primary, then that's that. If it's not made by then, if I do apply, and we come out of the primary to be a winner, I'll withdraw my application. I'm not in the party to be a winner. And I'm not sure that I will apply, even if it is Scott and I, or even if it is 30-30-30 as possible, because that's Scott Andrews who went to the primary this year. So I still, even if there's multiple of us going, I still may choose not to apply, because I think chances are so low. And I think, like we're doing right now, not intentionally maybe, but voters may have concerns about my loyalty. I think some parts of timing for me, but that's where I'm at. So I might not apply at all. I will not apply if I'm on me. I have to decide if I just want to come out of here, okay? That's not going to be right now.
I'll make a comment. I take away from finish up here tonight. Rich has had a chance to kind of make a closing statement. I'd like to have each again. Had a little time to sit here, just a minute or so, and each chance. understand the ramifications because it doesn't come up. One of those committees is a committee that Bill has happened on the Democrat side when James stepped down and filled that position. That's how it works by law, is that the county vacancy, the Republican County Vacancy Committee, gets together to fill that. So it's a very important role. We actually have a couple or at least one resolution concerning that as well that we'll be considering and working on. The second point that I would make is there's another vacancy committee. If whatever happens, I always like the example of we put our nomination to a person and they get hit by the proverbial beer truck between them. That other vacancy committee allows a group of like-minded Republicans to reach out and nominate someone so that the position is not empty when it comes to the general election. So there are ways to build that that are put in place through our process and procedures so that so we don't really have I don't have a huge concern if we would end up in November and stuff like not have a candidate. So guys, same order if you did respect the calendars is
my closing statement is going to be to chase Mole's question down a little farther. The past county manager defended her actions by saying she was not responsible. As the county manager, she was not responsible for anything except maybe HR and payroll. I think she did include those. And the way, when I first read that, I really felt that well, that was a betrayal of how things are really structured. But as I thought about it, really the process that happened was the department heads were all required to go to the county manager first. The county manager's decision was then told to the department head, this is what you're going to ask for, this is what you're going to get. Then the department heads were directed to go to the commissioners to get the commissioners to approve that. So by doing it that way, the board was basically being managed to make all the staff decisions. So the county manager could step aside and say, well, the board told the department head what to do. And the department heads could stand there and say, well, the board told me to do it. I'm not responsible. Because what has happened is the board has just kept busy doing staff work. You look at their agendas, and that's all they're doing. They're rubber stamping staff decisions over and over and over. And as a result, they're not acting as a board. They're not working on policy direction of the county. They're totally distracted from what a board should actually be doing, which is a hell of a job managing your board. You keep them out of your business. You distract them, and you don't get them involved in what they should be doing. So that's one of the structures has to change. That has to change. We can't continue to do that.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is, we got to be honest here. There was missing money, and it was over a lot. It was over a lot of years. If people that it was their job to manage it, they should have managed it. And they didn't. And it happened year after year. And then it happened again in the county commission. Really, really sad. Really sad for the county, really sad for the people that would say it's sad that they stole the money, but essentially that's what they did. And it's to me it's there just has to be better management. There has to be better management. And I'm smart enough to know I am not the smartest person in the room. But I'll go find the smartest person. And whether that's an auditor, whoever it is, we'll make sure that the county finances are managed. And at some point, I think the county has to get to a zero-based budget. You don't spend any more money than you bring in. That's just, we all have to live by that. I'm hoping I
Again, thank you all for coming to be part of the process. I would also like your support on Sunday. I'm not going to be quite as short as Tom, I might always maintain a short speech. But I do believe, and I think you've heard it, there is and has been certain problems in the county. I believe those we are well on the way to fixing those problems. And I believe that some continuity with my leadership to bring forward those changes that we've already started will get us to a balanced budget. We'll earn back the public trust. It's going to be difficult, but I believe those things are going to take some time. We can all talk about shouldas and couldas. Person went to jail. There's no longer the county manager that was in place when that stuff happens. We have some huge transitions before us in personnel. And I believe that I am a person, again, I've been a commissioner for a grand total of 3 years. When I started, there was 22 years of cumulative experience on the board, and I had 0 of those years. Right now, today, there is a little over four years of cumulative total experience on the board. I believe some continuity of leadership will help us to keep the Grand County the place that we all want to live in, raise our kids in, and make the best future possible for Grand County. I'm asking for your support on Sunday.
All I can say is that I'd like to try to make sure that we have ultimate transparency at the county level. I'd like to try to make sure that the budgets are balanced, to make sure that we aren't having this deficit spending that we've been having, hold people accountable for what they're doing, make sure that they are doing what they need to do, find out each department needs. The best thing I can do is ask for your support, you know, if I can do a good job for everyone. As my father used to say, make it happen, Captain. That's what I'm going to try to do.
School District for helping us out and